Thank you, Brother Scott. Oh, I've enjoyed the presence of the Lord already in this house. I don't take the Lord for granted, do you? Hey, it's an honor to serve Him and to walk in the beautiful truths that He has given us. I am so thrilled to have our precious guests with us. And you know what I love about guests like these is when they just feel like they're at home and they can raise their hands, they can dance a little, whatever. Praise God, you're among friends. I can't stand dead church. I can't stand dead church. I've been known to do crazy things to liven up a service. So, but He's here. He's here. And wherever He is, anything is possible. Lift your hands and let's bless the Lord Most High. He is the Almighty. Nothing is hard for Him to do. How we praise You, Lord. Oh, be exalted, Lord. Be magnified. Be magnified, Lord. Thank You. Praise God. Praise God. We were praying for the ladies to, as they were getting ready to leave the other day. Had such a sister, Angela, has the gift of hospitality, no doubt. There's no doubt. It's a gift. And she's got it. And she just had an army stay at her house about 3-4 days. And look, her hair's not turned white and falling out. I mean, amen. So we were praying. Did you get the same text we did about what happened on their trip back? And they asked me to pray over them. So I think that's how it went. They asked me to. So anyway, so I'm praying over them. And I said something about, and Lord, give them a wake-up call, but a gentle one, please. You know, on that trip, because we didn't want anybody to fall asleep or, you know, give them a wake-up call. But I know that God's wake-up calls can be rather extremely startling. So I said, Lord, a gentle one, please. Right? So we get this text. Be careful how you pray. Because, you know, we don't pray to waste time. We pray and believe. Amen. It's not prayer that moves the world. It's believing prayer. So my niece, Esther, is just driving down the road singing, you know, flying about 80 miles an hour. And Andriana, cute little Andriana, she goes, Mom, a cop. And she looks to the left and there's with his lights on. And she's like, oh, I'm done. I am had. I am fried. I am so. As she pulls over, he smiles at her, turns his lights off, and leaves her and proceeds down the highway. I prayed, give them a gentle wake-up call. So they got back to me to remind me of my prayer. A gentle wake-up call, no tickets, no handcuffs, no court. Praise God. They thought that was really cool. God is so merciful. So merciful. So anyway, they thought, wow, that prayer really went to work for them. All right, I want to share with you what it seemed like the Lord dropped on my heart, and thoughts along this line started coming to me yesterday. I'm getting ready to go to the funeral so that we can be an encouragement. And I started getting all of these thoughts, and I grabbed my iPad and I just started throwing thoughts down into a word processor sheet, and thinking, wow, Lord, wow. Just praise God. So today, I spent much of today praying, Lord, those thoughts that You were giving me, did You want those for this evening? I didn't want to presume anything. He's given me a message and then had me just hold it for weeks, you know. So I couldn't get off of this. So here we go. If you'll stand in honor to the word of the Lord, his book is a good book. It's a book that you can throw at the devil. If the enemy's been bothering you, throw the book at him. Just throw the book at him. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 2, if you would. And verses 1 through 3, enjoyed everything. Thank you, Brother Nevin, for accepting your nomination and helping to lead us in worship, this beautiful praise team. Don't our praise teams just do absolutely fabulous, helping us, leading us into the presence of God? Never get tired of that and the privilege to worship God again. Deuteronomy 2, verse 1. Then we turned. You see that? That preaches to me. Because sometimes the hardest thing in the world that God has in regards to us is to get us to turn around. Yeah. The guy that stopped on the edge of the road to speak to the farmer for directions, right? And he said to the farmer, I'm going to such and such a place. You know, how much further down the road is it? And the farmer said, well, sir, if you proceed that way, it's about 25,000 miles. But he said, if you'll turn around, it's about 3 miles back that way. If you just turn around, it's only 3 miles that way. But if you go that direction, it's about 25,000 miles. Praise God. It's amazing when we have the courage to turn, how much time is saved, how much distance is saved when we turn around. So, in these beautiful verses, it says, then we turned and took our journey, and all of a sudden, where did we end up? Into the wilderness. You could read it, wilderness. You know, things get wild. I mean, how's it going? It's been wild. It's been wild. And into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Well, what was it about the Red Sea? Well, you might be in the wilderness, but you got to remember that the Red Sea, he opened up miraculously by a strong wind, by his power. So even though they were in the wilderness, God was getting ready to open up a way through the sea. There was an open door not far from the wilderness. Oh, praise God. As the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And that phrase is the one that really grabbed me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. Verse 3. Or verse 2. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, okay, verse 3. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn. And there is that word again. You know, a turn could be like a change in an attitude. A turn, our personal turning could be like accepting a new perspective. Like even humbling our opinion and not making it a separate God. Not deifying our opinions, but humbling them to accept his opinion or the prophetic opinion that the Spirit of God would lift up to us. Understand what I'm saying? There are many ways that we can turn. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Now I'm gonna put, this is a very humble title, and I'm going to put it in the form of a question. Okay? Here it is. Here's the question. Is it one more lap around the mountain? Is it one more lap around the mountain? Let's pray. Brother Aaron, lead us in a special prayer that God would just open our eyes and give us some understanding. Praise
God. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Lord, this is a divine, timely message, Father. And I thank you, Lord. You are such a good, clear, precise God, Father. Lord, you're not a God of confusion. You're a God of complete clarity, Father. You're so clear with what you are giving and directing us into, Father, Lord. And there is a turn in the season, in the house, and individually, Father. And I thank you for that right now, Lord, that this will be a word in due season for us individually and as a house, Lord, that your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, Father. I pray that you bear much fruit from this word that you are getting ready to give us, Father. It is directly from you, and we thank you for that, Father, right now, in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you clap to the Lord? Would you clap to the Lord a praise offering? Would you clap to the Lord a praise offering? Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Wonderful Jesus. For many years, a great man of God pastored several hundred miles from here, but in the great state of North Carolina, home of grits and black-eyed peas and corn on the cob, and I better stop right there, or I'll proceed into okra and lots of other wonderful subjects. But he pastored a church that grew into the hundreds, an apostolic one, God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, tongue talking, dust removing, rust removing, chandelier shaking, carpet cleaning church. He had a powerful church, and I remember I preached a rally several years ago, and Bishop Jesse Williams was there in attendance, but I was usually on the other end, enjoying hearing him preach. He was a great preacher, a great church builder. Actually, had an awesome business mind as well. And I remember him making a statement that comes back to me ever so often. He said, "I have people in my church," and this man, he had this great big heart. You know, you ever been around somebody that you just met their heart? You just met their heart, and he had this huge heart. He said, "I've got people that have been in my church 10 years. But," he said, "they're not 10 years old in God. They're 1 year 10 times." Another lap around the mountain. Another lap around the mountain. What was he saying? You know, everything that happens to us is grist for the mill. God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't even waste tragedy. He doesn't waste heartache. He doesn't waste a storm. He doesn't waste a trial. When he fed 5,000 plus with 5 loaves and a few fish, they took up 12 baskets full of leftovers. He didn't want there to be any leftovers. There are no leftovers in God's economy. Everything is significant. Everything can serve a purpose. And somebody said, yes, amen. So this is just a brief picture of what happened to them in the wilderness. And there's something about, you know, like in Greek words, in Hebrew words. I know a little Greek. He runs a delicatessen in Milwaukee. I'm sorry. But the Greek words and the Hebrew words of the Old Testament, Hebrew, the New Testament, Greek. The Lord, by his choice, selected these two pregnant languages to give us the scriptures. And often in a Hebrew word or a Greek word, there's almost like a subculture. There's almost like shades and hues and tints, okay, of meaning in a Greek or a Hebrew word. And the word seer, something about it, you know, have you ever read the scripture and then just been attracted to a word? Like, I want to dig into that word. I'm going to bring my shovel, my gospel shovel, and I'm going to dig into that word and see if there's something there. Because in my heart, my spirit, there's a witness. There's something in that word. So I dug into the word seer because he said, "Ye have compassed this mountain long enough." And it says in the verse 1, "We compassed Mount Seir many days." So I thought, what is it in that word seer that I don't get, or that we wouldn't just get on the surface? The word basically means rough. He said, you've circled this mountain so long. He said, it's time to stop going around in circles. Now, seer means rough. Have you been around anybody that's ever said, "Oh, dear God, it's so rough living for God. It's so rough going to church twice a week. It's so rough reading my Bible at least once a day. It's so rough praying 15 minutes. It's you know, how you doing? I don't know. I'm not sure." One saint said to, was it Brother Tenney? I'm going through hell. He said, don't stop now. Keep on trucking. Who said it was going to be easy? We are so blessed as Americans. We are so blessed to have the liberties that we have. I remember being interrupted in Yugoslavia and the interpreter commanding me to change my subject in the pulpit. We don't have that here. We can rear back and preach the undiluted word of God without fear or favor. We can run in the aisles. We can cast out devils. We can pray for the sick. We are so blessed as Holy Ghost filled Americans to live in this country with the privileges and the liberties that we have. Come on now. Seer means rough. And they compassed, you know, when you pull out a compass, it's almost always, whether it's even if a square compass is going to be there's going to be a circle in that compass that's circular, totally circular, or it will be a circular compass with the case and everything. Because you're dealing with 360 degrees. All right? So they compassed Mount Seir many days, and the Lord speaks to Moses and said, you've compassed, you've been around, you've gone around in circles here long enough. You need to straighten this out. If you took the same distance that you've been going around this mountain over and over and over again and straightened it out, you'd be in the promised land by now. What I want to say is, I think God wants us to watch what we say about our walk with him. I think it hurts his heart when we complain. I think it hurts his heart when we gripe. They gripe their way into oblivion. He said, I want you to quit circling around the mountain that calls itself rough. Quit talking about how rough it is. You know what? It's a joy to have a Bible. It's a joy to have the Holy Ghost. It's a joy to talk in tongues. It's a joy to be filled with the Spirit. You know what some of us need? We need a new baptism of the joy of the Lord. Wave your hand at the Lord and give him a praise offering. Would you? Hallelujah. I'm not a Pentecostal cynic. Amen. I got some joy. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to live for God. Amen. It's a joy to have his word and to understand beautiful truths in the Scripture. But if we're not careful, When folks get around us, and sometimes I'm frankly, I try to be courteous. I enjoy people. I don't mind telling you when I go into the store to get groceries. My wife says, "Now, honey, don't talk to a whole lot of people. I'm sitting out here in the car waiting for you, and I have to behave myself because I just want to talk to everybody. I want to celebrate everybody. I want to love on it. I really do. I want to love. I got so much Holy Ghost. I want to love on everybody. I want to celebrate. I want to dance in the aisles." You're kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. You should be sad. Why? Jesus is in my life. I'm not circling around rough. It's not tough to live for God. It's a joy to live for God. It's a joy to pray. It's a joy to worship. It's a privilege to have a Bible. It's a privilege to know how to live for God. I count it an honor to live for God. Quit circling around that negative business. You've done that too long. When we gripe and complain, we just go around in circles. And we don't get anywhere. It's true. We sat in Angie Kramer's funeral. Can I tell you that people gave me the impression that they were surprised to see me and my wife there? I wonder why. Can I tell you how I really feel? I thought, you couldn't have kept me. You couldn't have kept me from that funeral with two teams of horses. You know why? Because I want to be there to tell them this. I'm praying for you. I know exactly how you feel. And the Lord's hand has come down on my life. And the Lord's hand will come down on your life as well. And he will give you eagle's wings. And he will give you a fresh anointing if you will honor him with fresh worship and a sweet spirit and a great attitude. God will pour mercy on you. Come on, let's love on him right now. Shall we love on the Lord a little bit? Woo! Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Hallelujah. You couldn't have kept us away from there with two teams of horses. We wanted to be there. Why? Because God is compensating us every day. I am seeing things. I am understanding more. My heart has been enlarged. My vision, my passion has been increased since we've come through places called rough. I just don't intend to keep circulating around that. Can I preach like that? Is that okay? Woo! At a certain point in the funeral, there was a song being sung. What was it called, Sister Meadows? You Are My Ministry. And it represented a song, I think, that Angie had sung to her kids.
It's a mother's song that a mother sings to her children.
It was one of her favorite songs. And this beautiful song was playing. And there came over us a great brokenness. And my wife began to tremble. And I put my arm around her. And I realized we're in the right place. And I walked up to Darren and I said, Darren, let me share something that the Lord gave us. And he knew about what had happened to her daughter. And I said, there's a secret gift that God leaves behind. I preached a message on this. A secret gift that most folks don't understand when you go through a traumatic event. I said, here it is. The Bible says in Psalms, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I said, here's what God does when you go through something like this. He leaves you and me behind with a larger heart. That's what we've discovered. If I ever wanted to win a soul, it's now. If I ever wanted to be in a prayer meeting, it's now. If I ever wanted to love people with intensity and run after the harvest with a passion, it's now. Why? Because I've been left with a bigger heart. Woo. Some folks, they just want to. Is it another lap around the mountain? Let me tell you a little something about the way that God works. I love the way he works. He doesn't grade on a curve. Well, let's see. How much of these folks flunked? So you didn't do well either, but since a whole lot of them flunked, you'll get a nicer grade. He doesn't grade his papers like that. Well, we'll just, you didn't do that well. What are you saying? I'm saying that is it another lap around the mountain? God is so thorough. The Bible said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. The word thoroughly is the old King James for thoroughly. He will thoroughly purge his floor. What does that mean? God is thorough. If I don't pass a test on a certain level, he doesn't socially pass me. It's another lap around the mountain, and he brings me all the way around again to face it again. But here's the two things to be careful of. Number one, when you don't pass it on a lower level, the heat goes up. And number two, the tuition's higher. You have to pay again, only it costs more to take the test again. So it always behooves us to pass that test on a lower level. Because if we don't, we'll see that same test, because it'll be one more lap around the mountain. And all of a sudden we're looking at stuff thinking, seems like I've been here before. And the Holy Ghost says, amen, you have been here before. And you're here now again, because the last time you were here, you flunked this test. But since I'm a loving God, I patiently walk with you around the mountain one more time so I can help you pass it this time. All right. Woo! Praise God. You couldn't have kept us away from that place yesterday, because we were able to take some of the grace that's been poured on us. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? What would we do without the marvelous grace of God? He will pour grace when we submit ourselves, when we refuse to be complainers, when we refuse to become cynics, when we refuse to become bitter, and we say, wash me again in the blood. I'm going to keep the joy of the Lord. I'm going to keep on worshiping. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on loving God and loving others. Then God pours grace on us. Woo, if you want some of that grace, lift your hand and take some. Just pull some down. Woo, yeah, it's mine. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. The grace of God. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses. Hard, cold, sharp stone tablets. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Grace and truth. I like to say it this way. Truth is the steak, and grace is the gravy. And sometimes God will come along. If you'll humble yourself, he'll dip the steak in gravy. He'll dip his truth in grace and give it to you. Who doesn't like something that has some gravy on it? Praise God. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Do you know why Pentecostals have so many migraines? We get our halos on too tight. Just a thought. Just a thought. Verse 4 of Hebrews 12. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When you know what people have gone through to get to this point. Has anybody ever sat down and tried to read Fox's Book of Martyrs? And read what they did to the Christians of those few centuries when the Spanish Inquisition was in full operation? Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a problem. I remember the story of one woman who had 7 sons. And by the time the Romans got done with them and their torture and persecution, their 7 sons were all dead because they had been Christians. And it had cost them their lives. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going one more lap around the mountain. This thing called rough. I don't think it's rough. I think it's awesome to live for God. I think it's a privilege to live for God. I'm so glad he called me. I'm so glad he put an anointing on my life. And I'm going to keep on singing. And I'm going to keep on worshiping. Because I want to make it to the promised land. And not spend most of my life going around in circles. I heard about this. There's a preacher that preached a message. I think they were in like a 7-day revival, if I remember this right. This was years ago. He took his text and he preached this message. And then the next night, he took the same text and preached the same message. Probably close to word for word. The third night, the same thing. He preached that message. Where did we get this idea that every time a preacher gets up, he's got to preach a brand new message? Where did we get that? Where is that in the Bible? You know, a message doesn't get really good until you've preached it about five times. You know, do you say, oh, we don't, you know, we did lasagna back in 87. We can't do lasagna tonight. No, you don't go, I go, whoa, lasagna! Yeah, tacos. Oh, we're doing tacos? Why, we did tacos back in the fall of 92. See, we don't treat food like that. What is preaching? What is the word? It's food. And sometimes we need to hear a message over and over and over and over again until we get it. Woo! We're having sandwiches. We had sandwiches in 012. We never say that. We might say, is there cheese in them? Amber would say, is there peanut butter on them? I used to tease her. Amber, you get peanut butter on the counter. You get peanut butter on the bread. You get peanut butter on your clothes. You get some of it on the bread. And you get peanut butter on the floor. You're amazing. I mean, full coverage. Isn't that what insurance people would say? Full coverage. The peanut butter kid has struck again. I never forget, she'd take a, you know, precious memories. She'd take a knife and stick it into a peanut butter jar. And she'd like lift out of it. It looked like an apartment complex she was taking out of there. I'm going, that's enough peanut butter for 3 months. And she'd just laugh and giggle and spread it over. Poor bread could hardly hold up underneath it, you know. Needed about 7 slices just to hold it, you know. She was living life to the fullest. And that's what she'd want us to be doing. Live life to the fullest. Quit driving with your emergency brakes on. All right, just cut it loose. I'll never forget taking driver's training. And we had parked and then we were to re-enter traffic. And I'd left my brake on. And all of a sudden the brake light's coming on. And I got to have my hands at 10 and my hands at 2 p.m. And the driver's instructor's with me. And I don't know what to do because my brake light's blinking that it's on. It's not good to drive with your brakes on. Listen to this. I love this little verse from Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Why do we get so wound up? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The old trapeze artist was training the young man that was becoming his replacement. And the young man had questions about how this all works and the timing and letting go of the bar and catching the next one and how to move his body and make it work and make the procedures and the tricks and the different things they would do up there. And finally, the older guy saw his consternation. So he said this to him. Here's what you do, sonny. He said, you throw your heart over the bar and the rest of your body will follow. That's what I've learned in Pentecost. Throw your heart over the bar. Pentecost is not Einsteinian physics. Pentecost is all about the heart. Throw your heart over the bar. So when I worship, I don't apologize to anybody. I just worship the Lord because I'm throwing my heart over the bar. And I discovered that when I do that, all of the rest of me follows. That's the kind of worship service I love to have at Faith Worship Center. You throw your heart over the bar. You throw your heart into worship. You throw your heart into an altar call. You throw your heart into a Bible study, and the rest of your life will follow. Woo! You ever think about this? God doesn't do God half-heartedly. You ever think about that? I don't think I've ever said that in my life. God doesn't do God half-heartedly. Jesus doesn't do Jesus half-heartedly. He didn't go to Calvary half-heartedly. He doesn't love us half-heartedly. When he moves in our lives, he is fully God. I mean, he loves what he does. So if we're his kids, why would we do anything half-heartedly? Why would we just go around in circles because we think life is rough and living for God is tough and this is all difficult? He doesn't want us to even think like that. It's a joy. May I say it again? Thank you, ma'am. It's a joy. Thank you, sir. It's a joy. May I state it again? It is the joy of God that you understand his word, his name, the revelation of the plan of salvation, who Jesus really is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Would you praise him right now? Woo! Woo! Sataramashu. Listen to this verse. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. The scripture says that David danced before the Lord with all his might. One of the mightiest men of valor in all of Israel's history. If you're puny, I guess all you can do is give God puny praise, if that's what you want. But if you're mighty, he's expecting mighty praise. He's expecting his praise, the praise of him, to be proportionate to your strength. And so one of the greatest ways that we can demonstrate that the strength of God is in us is with the strength and intensity and passion with which we worship. Woo! Man, that's a revelation right there. You can say you love him, but he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength, with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind. Come on now. What was he saying? Don't leave anything behind. Put all of it in there. Throw your heart over the bar. Or is it just another lap around the mountain? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not at all. Straighten that out. God fulfills himself in circles. If you don't believe that, read the story of Jericho. Gonna march around. One time a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, seven times. I think those guys on the wall got dizzy. There they are again. There they are again. There they are again. Oh my goodness, there they are again. There they are again. What's six and seven? Six times on 6 days, so once a day for six, that's six. Seven on the seventh day, six, seven is 13. Jericho fell in the 13th round. Who said that 13 was a bad number? Uh-huh, okay. Just a thought. Don't you let the devil convince you that something's good and something. He doesn't know anyhow. He's a bonehead foo-foo. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. How can you tell he's lying? When his mouth is moving. But we have sure promises. We have prophecies on our life. We have things that God has said over us and into us. Stop circulating around a mountain that tells you it's really tough to live for God. It's a joy to live for him. It's a privilege to serve him. Yes, it is on any given day. Hallelujah. If you flunk or get a bad grade, is it one more lap around the mountain? You know, Israel proved that. They got out there in the wilderness and they got to bad-mouthing God and they got to letting their circumstances become deified. You know, like their circumstances are God. Your circumstances are not God. Let God be God and every man a liar, but your circumstances are not God. They got to bad mouth on their circumstances and bad mouth on God and complaining about everything. And they walked around in circles for 40 years. That's a long... You know, Dizzy Dean would have been proud of them. Dizzy Dean would have been proud of them. 40 years. Have you ever noticed... How many of you have been to some of these... like these circuses or carnivals where they have all these rides? You know? They have the Ferris wheel. What? How does it... It operates on a circle, doesn't it? Our solar system with the sun in the center and the planets. Circles. Almost all of those rides, if you think about them, I used to get almost just sick because I would get nauseated. Because almost all of them were built around stuff that was just whirling around in circles. See, that's the devil's business. If he can get you just playing games and messing around and goofing off and killing time. You know, you can't kill time without injuring eternity. Just killing time, playing games. Here's how you know. Are you just going around in circles? The first circle's not bad because that's the first cycle. And you learn something, then you straighten that out and go on into Canaan. But when you come back again and you're not 10 years old in God, but you're 1 year 10 times. Anybody want to grow? God can use everything in his economy. Nothing's wasted. He can even use your pain. He can use misinterpretations. He can use anything. What seemed like an accident. What hits you sideways. God is so wise. He weaves it all. You ever look at a bird's nest and see what's in a bird's nest? You just look, it's like you get close and look at that. Well, there's a balloon in there, a red one. There's a blue one in the bottom. There's, you see that string? There's a piece of string, there's some twine in there. There's something else down there, and I can't tell what it is, but it's sure ugly. Whatever it is, the bird just said, well, I'll just take that and I'll just weave that into something that I can use. So what does God say to Israel? Hey, that's okay, Izzy. The waitress down here at IHOP, I don't know if she still works there, but her name was Israel. And they call her Izzy. So I'm sure the Lord didn't say, oh, that's okay, Izzy. You didn't get it right, but I'm in a good mood today. You know, I don't think God's ever in a bad mood. I don't think there are any worms than the apples in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? God never has a bad day. Praise God. He never has a bad day. It's a good day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Anybody know where that is? You Bible quizzers. I love challenging you kids. You think you know your Bible? Where is that scripture? You hear it preached almost every week in a Pentecostal church. Where is that verse? Psalms 118, verse 24. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, Bible quizzers. Keep up with me. I'll challenge you. I was challenging some of them before service. I'm so proud of these quizzers. They've learned more scripture than most of us have forgotten. Hallelujah. It's amazing. And if the Lord will help us eventually, can I say it? Is it all right if I say it? We'd eventually like to launch a Bible quiz team here. We want to launch a Bible quiz team here. I believe the Lord has a vision for this church. So we've been through some rough patches and some difficult places, but we didn't stay there. Hey, Nevin, run up here. Tell them about the vision you had. What was it, just a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Share the vision that you had.
A couple weeks ago, when the Holy Ghost is just pouring down upon us, and I don't even think we had preaching that day. It's like we were just all worshiping, and that's what we were praying. And God just gave me a vision. I mean, it was so clear, and I could pick out just every little detail of the vision. I can't tell you, you know, the entire meaning of it, but I shared with Pastor what I saw. And while everybody was just worshiping and stuff, the vision I saw was this great river flowing through this church. And people were standing in this river just worshiping, lifting their hands. And in that particular moment, I felt like God reached down and turned my head, and I looked over to the shore, and then I saw people just standing in there ankle deep, afraid to step in the water, and then I looked farther on the shore, and I saw people actually chained to the trees, and they couldn't get to the river. And then I saw other people with baggages just loaded on their backs. And they were like half crawling, and they couldn't get there. And God showed me all this and this vision. And I didn't see faces and stuff, but, you know, I know there's a meaning for it and stuff. And that's what I saw. Yes, they were there. Yeah. In my vision, I didn't see the chains fall. They were there. Yeah, the people were wanting to get into the river, and they couldn't because of these chains and stuff. And I felt like God was showing us about outreach, about reaching people. There's people out there that want to come in this river, that they want to feel what we feel and what we're experiencing. And there's people that are just, they're afraid to get into the water. They're afraid to dive in with everything they've got. And they're holding back for some reason. There's things that are holding people back. And there's some people that come to church with burdens and baggages, and they refuse to leave it at the outside, and they come into church with this baggage, and God's wanting to get rid of that all. He's wanting to rip those chains off, but we're holding ourselves back, and I feel like that's the message that God is giving me. And praise God.
Pray a prayer for us, Nevin. Wouldn't this be appropriate? I say, let's go forward. You understand? If anybody could say it, I think I could say it. That's how I feel. I'm so excited about loving people. I'm so excited about new faces here tonight. I'm trying to stay poised, but I threw it to the wind. Somebody said poise is when you feel like, you know, raising the roof, but you just raise your eyebrows instead. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so excited about new people and new faces and making new friends. I believe God's going to fill up these pews and fill up these chairs. I want to straighten this line out and go into Canaan. There is a harvest. There is a harvest. So pass that test on the level where you are. Pass it. And then get up and pick up your tent and go forward into the presence of God and into the harvest that God has for us. Lift your hands right now. I'm going to ask Brother Nevin to pray a soul winning prayer over us.
Father, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, and we thank you so much, oh God, for this Holy Ghost presence, oh God, for the river, oh God, that flows, oh God, throughout us, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've given us, all that you've done, Lord God. But I pray, God, that you would awaken each and every one of us, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus, not just to focus, Lord, on the blessings and the things that you've given us, oh God, but help us, Lord Jesus, to see the lost, to see those that are struggling. See those, oh God, with fear, oh God, to give us a burden for those people, Lord Jesus. God, and if we're one of those burdened people, Lord, if we're one of those people that are chained, oh God, that are facing fear, help us to loosen those bondages, oh God, tonight. Help us, Lord, to draw, to step into the waters, Lord God, to get into a little bit deeper for you, Lord, to consecrate ourselves, Lord, but not to sit there spinning in circles, oh God, but to move forward in you, Lord Jesus. God, we want to love you. We want to bask in your presence, Lord Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way. Loose us, Lord. Tear down the walls. Tear down the bondages, oh God. Lord Jesus, free your people, Lord Jesus, tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I challenge you to step into the river. We felt that after hearing Brother Graham in two services and at camp. Step into the river. I want to live by the river. I want the river to be opened up again in my life. I've had enough circles around a mountain called Rough. I'm ready to go into Canaan land. there is a harvest. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Anybody believe that? Does anybody in this house believe that there's somebody that God wants to connect you to? There's somebody hurting that God wants to link you up to. You are the answer to somebody's question. You have the key to somebody's lock. God wants to plug you in to somebody's pain. God wants you to be like an angel to walk through somebody's wasteland and promise them there's a new day dawning. There's a new day dawning. Oh, Father, hallelujah. It's a joy. It's a joy to live for you. Oh, God, fill us up again for the love of God. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Shed your love abroad, Lord. I've compassed. I've circled Mount Seir enough. I want to make a beeline toward Canaan. I've circled, amen, that lonely mountain long enough. I want to go straight into the promised land of prophecy and promise. Kitataro bromoche. Lord, we worship you. Would you lift your hearts up to him right now? And let's believe. You want to help us, Lord. You want to help us, Lord. Right now, Jesus. Lord, give us boldness. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us courage. You got somebody you want to heal tonight. You got somebody you want to love tonight. You've got somebody you want me to touch tonight in prayer. Oh, Lord, in the Spirit of God, use us, we pray. Give us, Lord, a fresh vision of a harvest field. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, stir us, challenge us. Help us to know, Lord, we're running out of time if we're going to get after the harvest field. It needs to be now. If we're going to get after, Lord, the harvest, if we're going to love people. Help us to break out of our little boxes, Lord. Holy Help us to break Spirit, out of our little pots of thinking, Lord. Our little small time thinking lost in self. Lord, help us to break out in our consideration, in our compassions. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus. I worship you. Open our eyes to see.
Comfort this place and fill me up.
Help us, Lord, to notice.
Your glory.
Help us, Lord, to reach out to others and notice them.